Well, brethren, I'd like to know, do you hear the sabers rattling? Do you hear the sabers rattling? I hear the sabers rattling, brethren. I hear talk. I hear pushing. This deal with North Korea, this man over here, this wild man, he wants to be able to launch nuclear weapons on us and whoever else he wants to send them to. Hawaii is concerned. I saw in the news where they're redoing their fallout shelters. They're very concerned. They're restocking them, putting the supplies back in them, rebuilding some that need it. They haven't worked on them since 1985 is what I saw in the news. So they're concerned, and reminds me of being a young person in the public schools and going through the drills and, going to the hallways, preparing us in case there's a nuclear attack. You know, we have people in this world called ISIS. I don't think that they think a whole lot of you and I. They're attacking people, and you never know where it's going to happen. You never know. So people are worried about that. And then I'll confess that my heart ached when I saw on television a few weeks ago these children, these victims of the chemical attacks, chemical warfare in Syria over there. It's horrible. It's horrible. A lot of my family is in law enforcement. You know, our country, some of the inner cities, you don't go to the inner cities at night because you won't come out. And probably a lot of you don't know it, but there's places in East Texas like that. Down in the deep woods, I've got a cousin that's FBI, and he told me, he says, boy, he says, we don't go in there alone. We go in there with plenty of firepower. Because if you go in there alone, you don't get to come out. You'll stay there forever. So, brethren, you remember in the model prayer where Jesus told us, he says, address the Father, hallowed be thy name, and then he says, thy kingdom come. He said, pray that the Father's kingdom comes. And you can ask any number of people what that means, and you can get a whole lot of different answers, what the kingdom is. A whole lot of different answers. And so today, I want to dig into this book. Anybody familiar with this? I think all of us have seen it quite a bit. Very important book. But I want to look at what it means and what he's telling us to pray for, thy kingdom come. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. Mark 1 and verse 1, and it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. That's awesome. He's the Son of God. And so he's pulling us in right here. He's grabbing our attention. That ought to get our attention. The Son of God here. And this is the beginning of the gospel. Well, there's another term, gospel. And I guarantee you, you can get a lot of definitions for the term gospel. A whole lot of them. Now, a lot of my kin folks last Sunday, on Easter Sunday, would have said they were preaching the gospel. That gospel about Jesus Christ, this person that came. And yes, very important to understand and know who Jesus was and who he is today. But do they understand what the gospel is? But I did say something about thy kingdom come. How does that tie in with gospel? Well, let's notice verse 14. Verse 14 of Mark chapter 1. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's the gospel he preached. There we go again. The gospel of what? That kingdom. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom. And he said, it's a hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So he tells us we have to believe that gospel. We need to know what it is, don't we? And we have to repent. So, what does he mean it's at hand? Interesting, isn't it? What does he mean by that? Well, we'll see. We'll see. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. I think it's important to realize who else is involved here. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. Jesus speaking here says, I must preach the kingdom. Let's see. I must preach the kingdom of God. I must to the other cities also, because for this purpose I was sent. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Jesus was sent to us to preach the kingdom of God, that gospel. That's why he came. What all is involved there? Well, many would say, oh no, Jesus came to die for us, pay for our sins, to do away with the law. But what did Jesus say? He says, I came to preach the kingdom of God, and that's why I was sent. And the two are kin, the kingdom of God, the gospel, and Jesus' sacrifice. They're all tied together. Now, who did he preach to? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them. This is the 12 disciples. And he said, do not go to the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter a city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, same thing. God's in heaven. But it's at hand. Why? Why does he say it's at hand? Was it then? Why? So it's important to understand that. I believe it's important to understand that. Notice verse 23 of Matthew 10. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. I've given you a job to do. I'm telling you to preach the gospel of the kingdom like I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I was sent for that purpose. But you're not going to quite get through with the job before I return. It's too big of a job. But you're to be out there doing that. Get that message out. Preach that gospel. Now, let's look at who else was involved. Acts chapter 10. Book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 30. I like this. This is a Gentile here. Cornelius. He says, 4 days ago I was fasting. He was one of the, what they call a God-fearer. He says, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Why did he call it bright clothing? I'm thinking maybe this guy was glowing. You know, I'm thinking maybe this guy had a supernatural appearance, an angel. Right on down to verse 34, and Peter opened his mouth and he said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. So, you know, the story about Peter, the vision, the various things involved, and the Jews were, you know, they weren't going to have anything to do with the Gentiles, but God is showing them, you know, I'm opening the door so the Gentiles can hear the truth too. So the Gentiles can receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 35, and in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Notice the first part of that verse. Who sent it? Which God sent it. The Father sent it through Jesus. Verse 37, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. John the Baptist prepared the way. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And that's so important, for God to be with us. And we are witnesses of all things which he does in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed and hanged on a tree. Clearly talking about this message Jesus going about preaching. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Have you ever put yourself in that position? Have you ever thought about what it was like to be one of them and have Jesus risen from the dead come and talk with you? These guys didn't really, really believe all this was going to happen until it did. They didn't really. And he commanded us to preach to the people. What? He commanded them to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Christ is the judge. He's the one everyone has to face. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sin, the forgiveness through his shed blood. His blood covers our sins. Now, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. They weren't baptized yet. And those of the circumcision who believed and were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. God sent an angel to talk to Cornelius, told him to talk to Peter. God showed him, I'm working with not just the Jews, not with the Israelites only, but with everyone. So God opened the way for his Holy Spirit to all whom he would call. All that he calls. Now notice John 4:24. No, 14:24. I'm sorry, 14:24. That other one's good too. Would have worked. John chapter 14 and verse 24. I'm like a lot of you, I'm tired. I don't know why the week was so tiring, but it was. And he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. That's just to nail it down. Jesus is, they're together on this. It's the Father and the Son. They're together on it, on this gospel, and on the message of the kingdom. John chapter 3 and verse 1. Now this is very important. I think this is just so interesting. Because to the carnal mind, to the mind not called of God, this makes absolutely no sense. No sense at all. But notice John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. He says, man, nobody can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He had noticed. Now, this guy was a Pharisee. He was aware of the prophecies of the Messiah. He was aware of the prophecies that talked about a government coming. And, you know, they believed that government was going to be set up right then. And Nicodemus I don't know just what all was in his mind. He was impressed with what he'd seen. But he also was scared of his fellow Pharisees. He came at night. He didn't want them to know that he was there to talk to Jesus. And so maybe he's trying to find out just what is going on here. Are these guys going to rebel? Are we going to be in a fight shortly? You remember Peter thought so, didn't he? He had his sword when they came to get Jesus. He was ready to use it. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly..." Now, Nicodemus did not expect this reply. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He can't see it. Born again? What does he mean, you can't see it? You know, someone picks up their sword. Someone tries to start a rebellion. You know, rebellion and revolution, it just depends on what side you're looking at it from. It depends on what side you are. But you're going to be able to see the people, physical people, because see, brethren, we think in physical terms. So did Nicodemus. But here's Jesus' answer, verse 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We just read it, I reread it, because you see, there's a message here. Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" It made absolutely no sense. And how does that, what kind of response is that to what I presented to you? You know, you're doing these signs and then you say that to me? Where's any sense in that? That don't make sense. And Jesus explains it. But Nicodemus still doesn't get it. You and I should be able to get it. In verse 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You see, he's talking about being baptized. Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That earnest payment, that down payment. God gives you his Spirit. I've always thought it's very important to remember. You can go through the exercise of baptism, but if God didn't call you, you don't receive his Holy Spirit, because the devil plants tares in the church. But those God has called, he grants them his Spirit, that earnest payment. And unless that process, unless you've received that, that seed is planted in you by the Father, that earnest payment, you're not going to be able to enter the kingdom of God. And you got to think about what poor old Nicodemus must have been thinking. What is this guy talking about? What's he talking about? He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Verse 8 is, I think, important. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit." Many a time I have, like in the morning, sit out, drink my coffee. Other times I may go out and I'll just observe the wind. I'll observe the movements. And I see the power of the wind. I can't see the wind. Such is the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit in you that I can't see it from here? I can't see it. But the demon spirits can see it in you. The angels can see it in you because they've got spiritual eyes. They can see. They can see. But another person can only look for fruits. That's all they can look for. We're physical. We can't see the spiritual. So, Christ says you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you've born of water and of the Spirit. What does it mean? Romans 8 and verse 16. He says, you can't see the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. But you can't see it. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are. We are. Not will be, are. But we're in embryo form. We're in embryo form. We're not yet born again. So we can't see the kingdom of God, can we? Not yet. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. That humbles me. That's lofty. That's powerful. I don't feel one bit worthy to be an heir with Jesus Christ. But that's what he says here. That's what he says, the Apostle Paul. We are the children of God. You see, brethren, when we are baptized and God grants us his Holy Spirit, he's planting a seed in you and I. He's planting a seed that's to grow. The Spirit is to grow. That's the embryo that should one day allow us to be born again into a spirit body. Just as the Father plants his seed in the mother, and your child grows. Now let me ask you something. When your wife, those of you that have had a wife, was pregnant, was that your child in that womb? Would you say, that's my child? You better believe it. That's your child. Your child. God looks down here at us and he sees his seed in us. He says, that's my child. He may look at me and say, what did I do? And I say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. We read this a week ago, I did, in a message. But it's so we can understand thy kingdom come. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Christ said that. Paul says it here. We're all still flesh and blood. We can't inherit the kingdom of God. Not like we are. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. And remember again what I said the other day. There are two mysteries. There is the mystery of God that talks about the family of God, the kingdom of God. They're the same. We're not yet to the kingdom of God. I always thought it was a period of time, 1,000 years. That's the kingdom. That's what we're praying for when we say, thy kingdom come. Oh, that's talking about 1,000 years. No, it's not. That's when it takes place, the birth into that family, that kingdom of God. I hope I'm not confusing you. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For those of us that are alive when Christ returns, it's a change. It's a change. From this mortal to immortal, to spirit. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's when we're born again. That's when we become full members of the family of God and become part of the kingdom of God. We don't know yet what position, what we will be doing there. We don't know. We already know that David will be over the 12 tribes of Israel. We know the apostles will be over each tribe. You and I don't know what we will be doing. I hope it isn't electrical work. Let me drive a tractor. Being facetious, but only part of the way. So, brethren, we must be changed. We must be born again. And when we are changed, that's when we become full members, full sons and daughters of the family of God. You see, brethren, what we're talking about is the heart and core of the truth. I could see the two beings, the Word, the Father, out there discussing this. We want a family. We'd like to have more. And deciding how they were going to go about it, and they devised a plan. The family of God will be the kingdom of God, the royal family ruling over the whole earth that will be under the leadership of that royal family of God. John chapter 3 and verse 1. Still not convinced? John chapter 3 and verse 1. Now you can talk this point till you're blue in the face to some folks, and you're not going to get there. My dear uncle up in Edgewood, I have talked the Bible a lot. And I've learned over the years, stay away from some subjects in the Bible, because we don't see it the same. Verse 1 of chapter 3, 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. We're called the children of God. Many say that's blasphemous to say that. John didn't think so, did he? Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. What a clue. They don't get it. They don't understand it. Beloved, now we are children of God. Pretty clear, isn't it? Now we are children of God. We are. But we're not yet born. We're not born again. And it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. I like that. It hasn't been completely revealed. We don't really understand the full impact of the glory that's involved in becoming a child of God. I sure don't. But it's got to be awesome. I can tell you that as a child, when Mother started attending the radio Church of God, they started talking about a kingdom of God. I said, oh, forget that mess. Let me go to heaven and walk the streets of gold. And people say, oh, you want to play a harp player? I said, no. I want to meet Peter and John and James. I want to meet these guys. I want to go up there and see my grandpa that I never got to see. And several other people. I like history. A lot of people I've read about in history. I didn't want to believe the way we believe now. I didn't. I tried real hard not to. I didn't win. And I'm glad I didn't, because it's so much better the way God intends it. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, when he returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will see him as he is, and we will be like him, like him. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How powerful. What a wonderful thing to know. Now let's look at some of the scriptures that describe this period of time. What's coming? Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. I can't help, when I read a lot of this, for not to have chills run up and down my spine for what the Bible is telling us is coming. When I see what's going on in this world, my cousin that's in the FBI deals with some very base people in this world. And I don't know. I don't know how he does it. And keeps his sanity. But he's a good family man. He's got a nice family. And somebody's got to do the job he has. And I'm glad it's not me. This world is in tough shape. Isaiah 2 and verse 1. And the word of Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. And we understand the Bible language talking about this government. This government over all the governments of this earth. All of them shall be exalted above the hills, and the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain, the government of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Now, this is my thinking. And as I read to the house of the God of Jacob, to me that means that we're going to God's family's house. We're going to visit with the God beings of the God family. Now that's just, I'm interjecting that. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords in the... Wait a minute. What? Do you hear the rattling sabers? Do you hear that sound? The sounds of war? Isn't that metal clanging, tanks, armament? My good friend was Navy chief, worked on aircraft carriers all over the world because he was assigned to the aircraft, fighters and everything else on these ships, and talks about all of this, and it's mind-boggling. They beat their swords into plowshares? There won't be any rattling sabers anymore. There won't be any preparation for war. Even the Irish will have to learn to get along with everybody. That'll be a chore. But it'll happen. And their spears will be into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. My ancestry, I think, has been involved in most of the wars. I didn't even know till just a few years back, Daddy died in 99. War was so horrible, World War II. He never told me, but decorated veteran, many medals. And you know what it meant? It meant horrible memories, horror. He didn't want to remember it. So he didn't talk about it. I brought notes today, folks. I got two pages of them. Some of you are saying, well, you don't know what to do with them, do you? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18. Too many scriptures to remember. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. The saints will receive the kingdom. We will enter the kingdom. We will be part of the royal family, the kingdom of God. That's us. That's you and I. Again, mighty heady stuff. I don't know if I can be a king. It's something. It's really something. Verse 27. We'll have to let God worry about that, won't we? He knows what he's doing. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All dominions shall serve and obey him. All governments, all of mankind will have to be under the rule of Jesus Christ and the saints. Couldn't have better leadership. Won't be any elections. But you couldn't have a better government. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 11. Now after I'm breaking into the context. It's talking about the two witnesses here. They've been preaching 3.5 years prior to the return of Christ. God finally allows the people to kill them. And here we are in verse 11. Now, after 3.5 days that they've been killed, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. Well, that's a sight. Dead men standing on their feet. No telling what they look like, because you can read the people were celebrating. These people, they said, had tormented them. Now, that's kind of what some people view the truth. The Word of God telling you this is how you ought to live, and they view it as torment. Backwards thinking, calling evil good and good evil. But it says, they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Uh-oh. You know, I was one of them that had a part in putting those guys to death, and here they are. What do they look like? And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Come up here. That'll get your attention. I'll read this stuff, and I think, you're here and you hear this loud voice from heaven? These guys have been resurrected from the dead? You know, maybe we were wrong about these guys. There may be something to this, what they've been telling us. Come up here, and they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. They witnessed this. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 men were killed, and the rest were afraid, and they gave glory to the God of heaven. They decided it's time to repent. Now, we've been wrong. The second woe has passed, and behold, the third woe is coming quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, what? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It's not optional. Christ is taking over. King of kings, Lord of lords. Verse 17, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come. The descriptions of God who has no beginning of days. I've tried to think about that. I can't get that. I don't understand that. And the nations were angry, verse 18, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. There's no choice. Many are not going to give in. Destruction is the only way. But there is another resurrection, isn't there? So God is so very fair. Jude chapter, verse 14 of Jude. Anybody got a book with Jude in it? There it is. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. How did Enoch know that way back in the Old Testament? He did. But he says, I hear 10,000s. I don't know how many. I don't know. But quite a few to fill all the positions necessary to help everyone else. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Now, why did it use that terminology? Why does John say the firstborn from the dead? He could have just said the one that came up from the dead. It didn't say that, did he? Firstborn from the dead, because there's a lot more folks going to be born again and come from the dead. Lot will be coming up in the resurrection. And he's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Have any of you heard these scriptures before? Is this something new? I don't think so. I don't think so. But we must rehearse. We must remember. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. I've thought about that a lot over the years. Because you see, when you are born again and you're one of the first fruits, you're part of that kingdom, that government of God forever, forever. It's eternal. It's forever. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It says 1,000 years, doesn't it? It's talking about the earthly period, the 7,000 years of the 7,000-year plan. And that's the part where we're helping the rest of humanity. And then, of course, the part after that the last great day tells about. It's a big subject. A big subject. We can't cover it in a sermon, split sermon. We can't cover it. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So we must overcome, and we will get to rule with Christ. Revelation 5 and verse 10. Where will we rule? And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. It will be here on this earth, not up in heaven. I'll have to wait longer to see the streets of gold. But don't that sound good to you? Streets of gold? Man, what have they got if they've got streets of gold? Wow, that's awesome. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. I'm nearly there, folks. I'm just about through. I didn't hear anybody clapping. Daniel 12 and verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there will be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. This is going to be a tough time. Never has been anything this bad before. And he says, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. The resurrection shall awake. Thank God we have hope. Hope. So many don't. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The wise shall shine in the brightness of the firmament, those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, Jesus speaking here says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's straight from our Lord. And he says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. It's a promise. But he who does not believe will be condemned. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Doesn't believe what? The gospel. The good news. The gospel means good news of the coming kingdom of God. Brethren, if you hear words about the gospel, it better include the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus came to proclaim. What is that? The kingdom of God is the coming family of God that will rule with Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1. Got to go here. I think it's very important to understand just how important it is. Paul, in Galatians 1 and verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. As I said in the beginning, there are a lot of gospels. A lot of them. There's even churches named the Holy Gospel Church. And on and on and on it goes. Verse 7, which is not another gospel, but there are some who would trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Accursed. And he reemphasizes verse 9, as we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. A double curse pronounced on someone that preaches another gospel. Final verse, Matthew 24, 14. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. It will be preached. And then the end will come. It's going to be preached. It's a promise from Jesus the Christ. Let's pray, thy kingdom come.